I'm Stephanie Sachs, and I like to stir the pot. Stirring the Pot brings together the best minds in food, nutrition, and health to discuss some of the hottest topics. Each week, we offer answers to your burning questions, share a good brand, a weekly yum recipe, and have a rock-solid guest. It's our goal to inform and inspire when it comes to my lifelong passion. In the 1980s, my obsession with food and how it impacts health began. After years of schooling, I'm proud to call myself a culinary nutritionist, a professional chef with a master's degree in nutrition. Now I help people get healthy and stay healthy by giving them the lowdown on what the fork they're really eating. Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious, is proudly presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa and Saunders & Associates. Stirring the Pot. Stirring the Pot. Today's show is Radical Remission, and I'll be speaking with Dr. Kelly Turner, researcher, lecturer, and consultant in the field of integrative oncology, and author of the new book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. But before we dive into that, here's Drive Through Nutrition. Beep, 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 yeah. In a fast-paced world of bad food choices, can you actually make better ones? In other words, what can you change in your day-to-day to make a difference in your health? And I know that Gear actually has a question for me today.
Oh, yes, I do. Well, I found your secret place, by the way, where you get all your good brands of the week.
Okay.
So I went into this shop in Brooklyn called Forgers.
Right.
And there I run into like one shelf. I see the
popcorn.
The Quinn popcorn.
Right.
The other popcorn thing you had, the popcorn kernels.
The pop kerns.
The popped kerns. Your seaweed, the yogurt. I'm like, it's all in this store. I'm like,
oh, it's funny because I've never been to that store.
Yeah, right. So anyway, so there safely I see this box and it's this is intended for my son. So I'm going to tell you right off what it is. I'm going to read to you the ingredients.
Okay, let's hear it.
I would like to see if you know what it is. And there's something on here that I have questions about. So being that all the other good brands of the week was there, I figured, okay, Stephanie would approve of this. So I didn't even look at the ingredients list.
Right, of course.
Here it is. Crystal sugar, glucose syrup, invert sugar, gelatin, cassava starch, corn starch, icing sugar, and citrus acid. And natural flavor is raspberry, violet, orange blossom, anise, and lemon.
Okay, so first of all, they must be something gummy.
It is.
Okay. So, and it has, oh, yes. Okay. So,
Chewy,
gummy type of candy.
Yeah.
So it has roughly 6 ingredients that are sugar.
Right.
There's a chapter in my book actually called Sugar and its many euphemisms because there are roughly 50 different ways that you can say sugar.
Well, I've never heard of that liquid sugar or icing sugar.
It's invert sugar. Invert sugar is basically a liquid type of sugar where the sugar goes through a process where it's turned into a liquid that actually cannot be recrystallized.
Huh.
So it's great for food processing because it actually helps keep the moisture in to a lot of foods.
Oh, that's
this actually
so good.
Would not be one of my good brands of the week.
I figured I wouldn't go so far to say that it would be your good brand of the
week.
But I thought you might approve of it as my son's Saturday candy.
Yeah,
snack.
No. I mean, I'm
now, did you figure out what kind of candy it is?
It's definitely something gummy or chewy. So actually, the box is in another language, but if you turn around and you look on the back, because I don't get to see what's in it because it's emptied, does say it's marshmallows. So I was right that it is something gummy.
Yeah.
It didn't have colors in it, so I should have actually picked up on that, which I didn't. So thank you, Gear, for bringing this in and asking such a good question.
Anytime, Steph.
If you want to be on Drive Through Nutrition to address your questions or concerns, email me at info@stephaniesachs.com. That's Stephanie with an F for food. Join the conversation on air. Maybe it'll make a difference in your health. You're listening to Stirring the Pot with Stephanie Sachs on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, Southampton, New York, serving the East End of Long Island and Southern Connecticut. Now, on to the good brand of the week. I went grocery shopping, did a big shop this weekend at Whole Foods with my kids, and they picked up one of their favorite grab-and-go snacks, which are these go-go squeezes. And as a parent, I'm always looking for things that I can just toss in the bag that are healthy, that are easy for them to eat, and stuff that doesn't have a lot of junk in it. So this is pretty pure applesauce in a pouch. And
see, I'm always just the fact that it's in a pouch makes me immediately skeptical on this thing.
Well, I understand, as it should. However, this is organic apple, strawberry, organic apple concentrate, banana, and black currant. That's all it is. So I'm going to twist the top off, and I'm going to give it to you.
I get to taste it.
Yeah. And listen, the reality is that all of this packaging causes a lot of waste.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's unavoidable, especially if you're running around with your kids and you want something quick and easy and healthy for them.
It says real organic fruit with a splash of organic juice.
Yeah. So you're sucking it down. Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I would eat every day, but I get that the kids love it.
Yeah.
It's not too sweet.
Is it something you would buy?
Sweetness.
Is it something you would buy for Atlas?
I definitely would buy this for Atlas.
Yeah, so
like you said, to point it out, as an emergency go-to snack.
Yeah, it's a good go-to snack. It's better than having applesauce all over your car.
I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you, the moon stood still on Blueberry Hill and lingered until my dreams came true.
The wind in the willow.
Part of me still, for you are.
And now it's time for our guest. Dr. Kelly Turner is a researcher, lecturer, and consultant in the field of integrative oncology. Her first book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds, was released this week and summarizes her decade of research into cancer remission that occurs either without conventional treatment, after conventional treatment has failed to work, or when conventional and complementary methods are used in conjunction to overcome a dire prognosis. I just got off the phone with Rebecca Katz, who has written several books devoted to recipes for people with cancer, and she is a huge fan already. She started reading the book. So, Kelly, I am absolutely moved by your work. Clearly, Rebecca is, and I'm honored to have you stir the pot with me. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, Stephanie. It's really a pleasure.
So what is radical remission, in your words? You've been doing the research for so long.
Radical remission is basically when someone heals from cancer when their doctors tell them that they're going to die. Now, that's a pretty morbid way of looking at it, but it's anyone who survives cancer against all odds. I happen to study three different categories. The first is people who are diagnosed with cancer but never to use any Western medicine and yet still get better. The second category is people who use Western medicine to its fullest, but unfortunately it doesn't work, so they're forced to try other options. And last but not least are people who use complementary and conventional medicine at the same time to overcome a very dire prognosis, so something like pancreatic cancer or lung cancer.
So can you describe what conventional treatment is versus the more complementary methods?
Definitely, yeah. And I always like to say that I am not against conventional medical treatment, which includes chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation. So those are our usual ways of treating cancer at the moment. I'm not against those treatments at all. I just think it's fascinating that there are people who heal from cancer without using those methods. And unfortunately, no one has ever really studied that group of people. So that's what I decided to do.
So what are some of those complementary methods?
Oh, right. The complementary methods, they range the gamut. It ranges from, you know, changing your diet, taking herbs and supplements, getting energy treatments, and also changing your emotional and your spiritual habits and patterns as well. So it's a lot more specific than that, but that's sort of the overall category.
Right. So what sparked your interest in this topic, Kelly?
Well, like most people, I've lost loved ones to cancer. My friend died when we were both 16, so that was probably what got me into working with cancer patients in the first place. But
when you were 16?
Well, when I was 16 is when my friend died.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really hard. He was diagnosed when we were 14, and he passed away 2 years later.
Wow.
So that's probably, if a psychoanalyst were to analyze me, that's probably what led me to go into counseling.
Right.
But I was just counseling cancer patients. I was just a straight-up psychotherapist. And I came across a case of radical remission one day, and it just stopped me in my tracks because I couldn't believe that someone, it's kind of like finding that someone went to the moon, you know, like
right.
from their own backyard. I was like, what? Somebody healed their cancer after they were sent home on hospice?
That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And I just a little bit of digging, and I found out that there were thousands of these cases that, one, I had never heard of, and two, no one was really studying. So
right.
that was really my impetus to get into this 10 years ago.
So your research began roughly 10 years ago, and what was this journey like? What was your process?
Well, first it was the decision to go on for my PhD. I knew that I wanted to study this in depth, and I wanted to do it, quote unquote, properly. And so a PhD would allow me to do that. So I was at UC Berkeley for my master's, and so I continued on there for my PhD. And I had this idea that came to me because as I was reading these case reports, I realized that no one was asking the patients what they had done to heal, which just seemed silly to me.
It's unbelievable when you think about that.
Yeah. No one had stopped to ask the person, you just healed your cancer. Did you do anything special?
Right. Right.
So I knew I wanted to find these people, but I also, when I started interviewing them, I learned that they were going to see healers all around the world. They were literally traveling to the ends of the earth to try to get well. And so,
what kind of healers, though? Like Reiki, energy,
yes,
herbal things like that.
Yes, everything. So, from integrative oncologists in Japan who are giving you chemotherapy while sitting in a tub of hot sand,
right,
to somebody in the jungles of Thailand, to a spiritual healer in Brazil. The people that I was studying, some of them were going to the ends of the earth to see these people, and I wanted to find out what these healers were doing. So I studied both alternative cancer healers and the radical remission survivors themselves.
Did you travel all over the world to meet with these people?
I did. I took a year during my years at Berkeley. I took a year to travel and conduct research. So I went to 10 countries in 10 months. And found 50 of these amazing healers. And I used translators, and I tracked them down, and it was amazing.
Wow. So what are some of the things that you learned along the way? Like, if you were to extract some of, you know, the top lessons you've learned from these people that you were speaking to, and then, of course, the healers,
right.
What is that common denominator?
Well, there are actually, what I've found so far in my research is there are 9 common denominators. There are actually over 75 different things that the people I study do to get better. But of those 75, almost every single person I study uses 9 of them. So not everybody uses all of these 75 things, but these 9,
right.
Everybody used all of them. And so that's what I cover in my book, Radical Remission, are these 9 key healing factors. And they range the gamut from changing your diet to taking herbs and supplements to making a whole host of emotional and spiritual changes.
Well, I think that's what's so fascinating is that you get a dire diagnosis from a doctor or you're sent home for hospice. And what is it that shifts somebody at that moment? I mean, because the shift in and of itself has to happen emotionally, I think, first for people to reach out and look for other methodologies of healing.
Absolutely. I mean, unless they've been really exposed to complementary medicine their whole life and are open to it, there is a shift that needs to take place. I think that, and this is covered as one of the key healing factors, which is having strong reasons for living.
Right.
So it's not about fighting the cancer necessarily. It's not about not being afraid of death. It's about just really a willingness to do whatever it takes because you want to stay living so badly.
Right.
So I think tapping into that do I really want to live? Will I do whatever it takes? That the people that I study seem to really tap into that, and their answer is yes, I really, really want to keep living, and so I'm going to do whatever it takes. And, you know, the changes that the people I study make are radical changes.
Right, right.
It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, some of these people change their entire lives.
Well, I think that that's what you have to do. Without crisis, there isn't change.
Right, right.
So we'll be right back to continue the conversation with Dr. Kelly Turner, author of Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. I'm Stephanie Sachs, and with me is Dr. Kelly Turner, and we're talking about her new book, Radical Remission, Surviving Cancer Against All Odds. Kelly, first of all, congratulations. This is a huge accomplishment.
Thank you, Stephanie. I've been working on it for 10 years, so it's nice to have it out into the world finally.
Oh, I understand that so well. So how would you summarize this book? It's such a treasure.
Well, I think to summarize it would be to say that people do really heal from cancer against all odds, and all of the 9 key healing factors in the book are working towards boosting the immune system, because the immune system is the way that our bodies naturally fight cancer.
Now, the book is broken down. You really talk about the people that you meet and the people that you work with, and you break it down into sort of these case studies. How would you summarize your book?
Well, the book is broken down into the 9 key factors, but each chapter, each of the 9 chapters, is told through a story, a true radical remission survival story about someone who really used that one particular factor to get well. Because for me, I learn by stories, so I wanted to include the voices of these people who have done this amazing feat.
Well, and I think also your readers are going to relate to your book much more effectively if you're telling through stories.
Right, because in the end, that's why I loved about this research, was meeting these people and knowing that they actually got well. And so for me to just as a researcher list all the things they did wouldn't be very interesting. But in the book, you get to actually meet these people and you dive into their whole story. And I think it ends up being really moving to get to know them and know their journey.
Yeah, and I'm not through the book yet, but I'll tell you, you know, I in one of the stories, I was just like, I want to see who this person is. It's really fascinating. So how did you come up with these 9 key factors that can make this difference?
Well, it was a scientific research project, so I did it as scientifically as I could. What I did is I took all the transcripts from all my interviews and then coded them, looking for common themes or common treatments. And then, like I said, there were over 75 of these. But
right.
when I tabulated the frequency of how often each of these 75 was happening, I found that there were basically a top 9 that were occurring in every interview. And so everyone says, oh, what are the top 3? And I'm like, well, unfortunately, there aren't a top 3. There's a top 9.
There's a top 9. And that's how you break your book down. But we don't want to give away, you know, all the gifts of this book on air. But what I would love to know is, could you share a couple of these factors with us?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, because you're all about food and diet, probably a good one to mention would be radically changing your diet towards one that has more fruits and vegetables and less processed foods and reduced meat, wheat, and dairy.
Right. So really anti-inflammatory.
Very anti-inflammatory. And the people that I study also drank lots and lots of filtered water, and they really made an effort to buy organically because the chemicals that are in our pesticides, we're seeing more and more being linked to cancer.
Right, right. The toxic chemicals that are actually in our foods at subtoxic levels, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. So
yeah.
That's what I like to say. So the problem with a lot of these chemicals is that they may have been studied individually, but they have not been studied compounded.
Right. Or cumulatively over time.
Exactly.
You know, your cumulative exposure. Right. So that's why eating organic is important for the pesticide reduction.
Right.
Especially. But eating fruits and vegetables, I know you talk about this all the time, but I was just on an interview today with a radical remission survivor, and he said, yeah, I did that. I ate more fruits and vegetables. I went from eating one or two a day to 15 to 20 a day.
And so were people cooking, or were they juicing, or what were they doing to increase their consumption?
Yeah, there was a lot of juicing, but also just a lot of consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables, so either raw or lightly steamed, in large quantities. Because I think usually, you know, the vegetables, the afterthought to the meal, what the people that I studied did is they made it be, you know, anywhere from 50 to 75% of the meal. But it wasn't all just juicing. It was raw or lightly steamed as well.
So they were more of a center stone. So it was really a plant-focused anti-inflammatory diet.
Absolutely.
Yes, we talk a lot about that on this show.
I know you do. It's just such a healing way to eat. You know, a big theme of my book is increasing your immune system. And if we really give our bodies all the nutrients and phytonutrients and antioxidants that you find in this rainbow of fruits and vegetables on this planet, you're going a long way to strengthening your immune system.
Oh, you sure are, because food heals, and you are what you eat.
Yes.
So since we focus on food all the time here, what are some of the other factors?
Well, another one that's sort of related that I'm sure you also talk about on your show a lot is taking herbs and supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, with our food system today, things are picked early or they're traveled across the country. There aren't as many nutrients, literally not as many nutrients in the fruits and vegetables as there were 50 to 100 years ago. So sometimes we have to take supplements to make up for what we really just can't get anymore unless we have a huge, you know, garden and don't have winter.
Right.
But herbs and supplements were a big thing in one of the key factors.
Well, and I think also there are things that when you're fighting illness that you need at much higher dosages than you can get in a typical diet, even if you're eating well.
Absolutely. Because when you get to the point of cancer, when you actually can detect it, it's been there for quite a few years usually, building up. And so at that point, you really need to bring in some plant medicine, which is what herbs are, in higher doses than what you could get. So people are taking high doses of turmeric or high doses of dried mushrooms because you wouldn't want to eat pounds and pounds of turmeric root, right?
Right, exactly. It's not that palatable. So what is this Radical Remission Project, Kelly? You have a great website, and I think you're trying to go viral. You want people to really tell their story.
Absolutely. The big problem in studying this is that we don't have a current way of tracking these cases. They are not tracked in the National Cancer Registry, unfortunately. And many cases go unpublished. So all of the people that I've studied, their cases were not published by their doctors in medical journals because that's not it's not a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
That only happens if a doctor happens to take the time out of his busy schedule to do that.
Which isn't happening that all too often.
No. And so my hope with RadicalRemission.com is that I'm going to give these amazing survivors a very quick and easy way to tell me their story so that not only I can have it for my continued research, but I'm also going to make the site searchable so that cancer patients can read these stories of healing and hopefully be inspired.
That's wonderful. So where can people learn more about you and, of course, the book?
Well, they can learn more at RadicalRemission.com or my personal website, DrKellyTurner.com. And the book is out this week, so it's in bookstores, it's online, and I'd love to hear what people think about it.
And you're on Facebook as well and on Twitter.
Yes, I'm on Facebook as Dr. Kelly Turner and Twitter at KellyTurner_1.
Well, Kelly, your work is refreshing and radical, all in one. And thank you for thinking outside of the box and encouraging others to do the same.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Now it's time for the Weekly Yum, Coast to Coast with Sax and Katz.
life's too mysterious. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned, so how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries, so live and laugh at it all.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Stephanie.
I think you have a little dessert to talk to me about today.
Oh, gosh. You know I'm not a real dessert person.
I know, but this seems like this perfect balance.
It is. It really is. It is a yogurt berry brulee.
Ooh.
Sounds so fancy. And
it does.
With a maple almond brittle.
Mm.
And so basically I am, what I'm doing is I'm taking, I like serving desserts in like, maybe sometimes like a little glass.
Mm.
And so I put some berries at the bottom, like blackberries and blueberries, and then a dollop of yogurt. And
what kind of yogurt are you using?
I use plain, organic, Greek yogurt.
Mm, full fat, low fat?
Full fat.
Yeah,
full
baby.
Throttle.
We love the
fat. Yeah. Don't like to use low fat, no fat dairy. Full fat. And then another layer of fruit, and then another dollop of yogurt, and then a very special little almond brittle, which I take some almonds and a little bit of maple syrup, and then I just put it in the oven.
Ooh.
And just like, there you go, spread it right on the parchment, and it takes about 2 to 3 minutes to bake, and then I let it cool, and then I just break it off so it's like a, you know, just like a chunk, and then I put it on top.
And it's very delicate. It looks very delicate in the scoop.
It's very delicate looking, and it looks so fancy.
It does look
so
fancy.
Easy. And if you don't want to make brittle, you can just, you know, sprinkle some toasted almonds on top.
And so you put a little bit of maple syrup in here. And where is nutritious meeting delicious here?
Well, yogurt is it's full of really good probiotics that feed your gut the good stuff, And then you're also mixing it with low glycemic fruit. So like berries, which are really high in anthocyanins, which is really good for the brain. You've got to, you know, your dessert is win-win.
It is a win-win, and it actually could be a dessert for breakfast, too.
Absolutely. It can be an anytime food.
I love it. Well, don't forget to check out the weekly Yum recipe this week. It's yogurt berry brulee with maple almond brittle, and you can find it on my blog at stephaniesachs.com. If there's anything that I've learned in the past 6 months, it's that cancer does not discriminate. When you're diagnosed with illness, I often say that it's the full-time job that you're hired for that you just don't want. Given my personal and professional experience, I can honestly say that a thinking outside of the box approach to preventing, managing, and recovering from illness is a must. That means considering the emotional, spiritual, and physical aspects of healing. I'd like to thank my guests, Dr. Kelly Turner, Rebecca Katz, and to everybody who helps me stir the pot, including Geir Magnuson, James Blueweiss, and Nancy Atlas. To stay updated and informed and to keep this conversation going, sign up for my weekly blog at stephaniesachs.com. Cancer Doesn't Discriminate is this week's title. And you can link to the weekly Yum recipe there, too. For next week, Sarah Bear Sinnott, president of Old Ways, a not-for-profit promoting health through heritage, will be here to talk about finding a connection with food. This show would not be possible without the generous support of Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa and Saunders & Associates. And thank you for tuning in to WPPB 88.3 for Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious.